Welcome to the Lost Library, Seeker. Enjoy your stay.
Hey everybody, Matt, your host and not your game master today, coming to you just here at the top of the episode to kind of tell you what we've got for you today and tomorrow. What you're going to be hearing this weekend is a special two-part episode of a game called Witch Scouts. This game was run for us by the creators of the game, Livy Watkinson and Christopher Foster, and features some voices you should recognize from our shows here on Lost Library. So buckle up, we'll have this today and tomorrow, and hope y'all enjoy Witch Scouts. Check it out.
So the first thing we're going to do is create your coven leader. Now, this is the adult that takes you on camping trips. It's not camping trips, but any Witch Scouts business, this is the person who takes you. It's not one of your parents, is basically the only rule. And they have to be over the age of 18 because they're taking care of children. So we basically start off there's like a name. It's our coven leader is named blank. Their pronouns are blank. And we try not to bother them because we think they are blank. And the last blank is just the reason why when you get into trouble, you're not going to immediately run to this person. And it could be something dumb, like you think they smell bad and just don't want to be near them. Or you think they're mean, or they're always tired and you don't want to bother them. Or they're just old.
See, I automatically went to that I think they're too cool and that they would be like, oh, y'all are lame because you did something stupid.
Yeah.
That's definitely the first time I've gotten that one. So yeah. you want to impress them. You want to think.
Yeah, like they're super cool. And it's like, I want them to think we're cool and for them to be proud of us.
I'm going to throw this out there. The coolest person I can think of off the top of my head is Uncle Jesse from Full House. And what if he was a warlock?
Oh my god.
He's a leather scout. He is a big air scout. God. He is a rock and roll scout.
I am so into this, Melissa.
Hang on, just let me Google
this. He's a greaser scout.
Greaser scout!
Stamos.
John Stamos?
John Stamos. Yes. He sells yogurt nowadays.
I
am married to Rebecca Romijn.
I don't know who John Stamos is. Just let me Google it real quick.
Yeah, once you
oh yeah,
I'm doing the same thing right now.
We've Americaned them.
Yeah, sorry, you guys don't have Full House.
We don't. They didn't make it across the ocean. Yep.
Great. Okay, so we're not going to our leather scout Jesse pronouns he him.
I'm sure. Okay with he him.
Yeah,
because I like the idea of him being a warlock. I think that's interesting.
Yeah. Okay, that works very well then. Our coven leader is named Jesse. Their pronouns are he, him. We tried to bother them because we think they are way too cool.
We don't want him to think we're lame.
All right. And so the way you're supposed to start this, and this comes with the idea is you'll be playing in person, but which is dumb because Livy and I have never played in person before, and I've never played this game in person before. But the idea is... you would have played this in person, so this would be easy. But I still like to do it over the internet because it's so funny to try to do with latency problems, which is we are going to all together recite the Witch Scouts code together. And I'm going to...
Oh, Chris, this is going to be so hard for you to edit.
I know. The thing is, I might not. I might just leave it unsynced because it's hilarious to me.
No. This
and
is
everybody's
so going to
bleed from their ears. So does everybody have it up?
Yeah, yes.
Yep. Currently
beautiful.
Loading for me.
This is so good, and I love it.
I want to cross stitch this.
Thank you.
I'm
still waiting for it to load.
Okay, we'll wait.
Oh,
on.
Here we go.
You gotta pipe it in from America.
You Americans and your internet. Now, so reading this in character?
Yes, if you can. If you've got a voice ready to go.
I always have a voice.
Everybody ready?
Ready.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. 3, 2, 1.
We must learn all that we have in the land.
Wow, that was a sonic mess.
Oh, that's beautiful. So
every time I've done this, it's honestly we could stop there. I've got what I wanted out of this.
It's so good. Y'all, I'm so happy right now. I'm just so happy.
It is a dark night. What season do we want it to be? I am, especially for this game, not just for this game, it's literally every game. I really love the fall because it's the best.
Yeah.
And if you disagree, well, you whatever. But what season do we want it to be?
I like the fall.
Yeah, maybe September seems like good camping weather if we're camping.
Fall doesn't exist in the South, so anytime I can play in the fall, I'm happy to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the fall, I'm lucky enough that I live in the pine forest, so the fall lasts 2 weeks, and it's glorious.
See, we have two seasons in Lower Alabama. It's hot, and then less hot, and then hot. Just an endless cycle of hatred and death.
Yep. it is just after sunset in early September. You are all packed into a station wagon, and it is rumbling down a dark road in the middle of some forest going up a mountain. We are in the middle of Appalachia. Jesse is driving. There's some nice 80s tunes playing from the radio. The inside of the car is lit up by the full moon, and we see our scouts. And we've got a problem in that there are two oldest who would have fought for the front seat. So did Leliana or Clary call Shotgun?
Clary Sage would not have called Shotgun.
All right, Joe, can Leliana be in the front seat?
I feel like Lily also wouldn't want Shotgun, but since no one else did it, she just okay.
Well, if nobody else want it, Kat would definitely do it because she would be talking incessantly to Jesse, trying to be all cool and stuff.
So next to Jesse in the front seat is a young girl named Kat. And she is buckled in to the passenger seat. What would you like to describe Kat for us?
I would.
At the ripe old age of 11.
At the ripe old age of 11, she has her hair in braids, just like two pigtail braids, I think, that kind of goes to the middle of her back or so. She has very dark hair, but weaved in her hair and in her braids are flowers. Just kind of like not dandelions, but not even sunflowers. What am I thinking?
I don't know.
It's like wildflowers?
Flowers.
Yeah, like little yellow wildflowers, daisies. That's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. Kind of weaved into her hair. She's wearing a t-shirt that's bright pink and it says Fighting Evil by Moonlight. And it's very graphic and it's got the big moon in the middle. She's wearing some shorts, sneakers. She has glasses that are a little too big for her face. And she's talking 90-0 to Jesse about how excited she is that they're getting to go camping and how she wants to practice some magic and how she hopes that he can teach her some things and all this stuff. And how much fun she's going to have with her friends who are all in the backseat.
I feel like Jesse is paying attention to you because Jesse's a good warlock scout leader. But he's definitely giving the stock responses oh, that's cool. Ah, yeah, tell me more about that. Because he has no has nothing to actually contribute and knows that he doesn't have to. But as you mentioned your friends, we cut to the back seat, which is shoved full of three other scouts. So we have next to who got stuck in the center seat?
I think Ellie did, if no one else wants it.
So in the center of the back bench seat is Ellie. Could you describe Ellie for us?
So if any of you read the Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur comic, all right.
Yes, I have.
Yeah. So you know Lunella in Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. She looks like her. So she's this 12-year-old black girl with her hair in those two like puffy pigtails, and like big Coke bottle-bottom glasses, this big lab coat that she's wearing, and she's very sort of, she has one of her flasks out and she's looking at it intently, swirling it around a little, and sort of kicking her feet on the middle bit of the inside of the car, just sort of kicking her little scuff trainers up and down on it in a rhythmic fashion.
So there's a bump in the road, and whatever was in that flask is now on one of the girl next to her, who's on her left behind Jesse, which is Liliana. What is so this fluid of nefarious origin just splashes all over Liliana. Would you like to describe her for us?
So Liliana is 12, very, very pale. Like, a lot of people basically assume she does, like, all the makeup and all the, like, weird, like, goth look, but that's just kind of how she is naturally. She has very, very long, like, black hair, like, arcing down to her lower back, with, like, a giant, like, shock of white in one of her bangs that hangs over half her face. She is dressed down from her usual look. She is just wearing a very nice, like, one of those black, like, ruffle fancy shirts. And perched on her head is a raven. And she's looking out of the window, so, like, this liquid splashes onto her lap, and she barely even registers it. She's just, like, very intently focused on not being in this car.
What is your raven's name?
My raven's name is Randolph Carter.
Thankfully, nefarious liquid free on Ellie's other side, we see Clary. Would you like to describe Clary for us?
Yeah, Clary Sage is 12. She's pretty tall, so that's why she picked the seat behind Kat, because Kat's seat would probably be scooted farther up to the front of the car than Jesse's would. She has curly, frizzy, kind of unmanageable, sandy-colored hair that's back in a ponytail. She's wearing good, sturdy, quality walking sandals and patched-up overalls and just an old t-shirt. And she has on her lap her magical focus, which is a old wooden spoon from her family home. And Clary Sage is the oldest of four kids, and she's used to being the responsible older sister, and she's going to make herself relax and just be her own girl on this camping trip. Away from her siblings for once.
So this camping trip is especially special. Especially special because words. Because you are going up to Jameson's Dam, which there is a camping area around the dam. But the more exciting thing is on the way to the camping site is the city of Jameson's Dam, which is a ghost town from back in Moonshining days. Jesse is taking you here to teach you to show you a real honest to goodness ghost town. Granted, that's supposed to be tomorrow during the daylight. Jesse has stressed that it's far too dangerous to go into ghost towns at night. But it's as the vehicle slows, it reaches the top of this winding street that he's been going up in the station wagon. The radio starts to static, and he fiddles with the dial a bit, and it doesn't work, so he just turns it off. So you're stuck in just listening to Cat rattle on as your only source of entertainment. For a moment, and then suddenly there's a pop sound, and the car slowly like sputters and knocks and comes to a halt. And you all look up out of the front window, and you see welcome. You see a sign, an old, weathered, half-beaten, falling apart sign that says "Welcome to Jameson's Dam." Population, and someone has spray painted an N after the M for one, because teenagers are very original. And then they have there used to be like a pegboard thing; they would hang a population number on it, and it's just missing. And Jesse sighs and pats the dash of the car and says, "Come on, baby, just a little further." And he tries to crank the car, and it turns over and over and just won't start. So he throws it in drive, pulls the parking brake, and says, he looks back to Clary, who's definitely here, just gonna unwind, not be in charge. And he says, "Hey, Clary, why don't you take the others for a little walk to stretch your legs while I try to sort this out?"
"Oh, okay, Jesse, you've got it."
Is everything okay, Uncle Jesse? The car made a weird sound.
Yeah, no, it'll be fine. I'm just, you know, there's no vehicle under the moon that Uncle Jesse can't fix, you know? He claps his hands together, and he pulls out his focus, which is a large pipe wrench.
Cat just kind of sighs dreamily. "Uh-huh."
But you look, Cat, you listen to Clary, okay? She's in charge.
"Oh, of course."
All right, and he opens the door and pops the hood. And it's suddenly out of sight. What do you do?
Cat obediently gets out of the car, and once Clary is out of the car, she takes Clary's hand and just kind of looks expectant.
Ellie wriggles out of the car, looks around skeptically. "It smells like nature out here."
"Well, yeah, because we're in the woods."
"Yeah, thanks for reminding me."
"Oh, you're welcome."
Liliana gets out of the car, scoops Randolph off of her head, and affixes the top hat, and is just kind of looking around very intently at this ghost town.
Randolph preens a bit and fluffs and resettles back on your hand. And looks very disapprovingly at everybody.
"Lily, Randy is so cool."
No, it's Randolph. This very specific name given to him.
Randolph squawks, and even though it is definitely a crow, just a normal crow squawk, you all know he just said Randolph.
He's also a Pokemon.
Yeah.
He's truly an exceptional Corvid.
"Oh, well, I'm sorry. I should have called you by your proper name, Randolph. I'm sorry."
"Okay, Scouts and Randolph, honorary scout. Let's keep ourselves busy. Firewood. We always need firewood. You know, might be chilly out here at night. Let's go get some firewood started. Maybe we can collect some cedar or something that's going to smell really good."
"That'll be fun."
"Yeah."
"Yeah."
"Okay."
So you start to lead the other children towards the woods to gather tinder and firewood, I assume. But as you do, you see, like, out of the corner of your eye, you see a glint of light further up the road. Not that far, though, but it's gone as soon as you see it, but it does make you turn your head and look, and you see just up the way a little bit, not that far, like barely into the city at all, is a cabin, a log cabin, and stacked against it is a large shoddily built contain thing full of firewood. Just inside the city limits.
Uncle Jesse said that we shouldn't go in there, right?
No, let's not bother them. We can get our own firewood. We don't even have any money to pay them for it.
That's right, because stealing is bad, and good stouts don't steal.
I mean, stealing is bad, but rooting around for bits of wood is icky.
It's not icky. It's fun. Look. And she, and Kat walks over to the woods and kind of bends over and pokes around for a minute. Look! And she holds up a stick. Huh?
That stick has a bug on it.
I know! I've named him Frederick.
Ellie, it's okay. You don't have to go hunting around with the rest of us if you don't want to. You can stack all the firewood in a nice, neat stack, huh? You want to keep it organized?
I do like organizing.
Uh-huh.
I still have to touch it, though. Leviana, what do you think?
Well, I think we do need a fire, but isn't it weird that there's also someone here if there was a light?
Yeah, that is kind of weird. Didn't Uncle Jesse say no one lived here?
Maybe they can help Uncle Jesse with the car and we don't have to pick up grow sticks.
Maybe we should... No. Because she goes to turn back towards Uncle Jesse in the car and then stops herself and turns back.
We don't have to bother Jesse about this. This town might not be inhabited all the time, but maybe it's another visitor like us.
Oh, maybe they have a little cottage here and they only come during certain parts of the year as a vacation getaway.
Yeah.
You can see that she's building the narrative of these people in her head.
Mm-hmm. Plenty of room to run around in a ghost town.
Couldn't it be called something less creepy? No offense, Lil.
A cobweb town.
Ectoplasm settlement.
I actually like that one.
That is kind of cool.
Well, you know. She looks kind of smug. Pushes her glasses up. Let's go and talk to this part-time holiday maker, mysterious individual.
Do you all start heading towards the cabin?
I look towards Clary, kind of for permission, almost. And I still haven't let go of Clary's hand. I'm still holding her hand.
No, that's okay. Wherever we go, we're all going as a group. So
I know that I said that Katrina is 11. I'm thinking she's closer to 8. She's the she's the youngest of the group.
Definitely shouldn't have legally been allowed in the front seat.
Definitely not. No.
She turned 9 yesterday.
There you go.
As soon as Ellie starts walking off, Lily's going to start following her.
Okay. So you approach this cabin, and it looks dilapidated. It looks like something you would see at... Liliana for sure has gone to these, but maybe she's dragged someone else to haunted houses, for Halloween and stuff. It looks like someone built a creepy, spooky, abandoned cabin on purpose. There's cobwebs everywhere. There's the four pane glass, and then in every single one of them, at least one of the panes is busted out. And then inside, you hear something creaking back and forth as the wind moves it open and closed as you approach. You walk up to the front porch, and the porch groans underneath your very, slight weight, because you're very tiny children. Whatever light was there before isn't there right now, obviously.
Wow, they really got cobweb placement right. It's almost natural.
Do you think there are really ghosts here?
mean, I hope so.
I mean, can you hear them, maybe? Like, are they around?
I don't know, Chris. Can I?
Would you like to cast the first spell of this game?
Hell yeah.
Woohoo!
So you're casting Raise the Dead.
I am.
So is this the one you have mastery in? You have a badge in?
Yeah, I've got mastery 3 in it.
So this is, I would also at the time, like, we see as you pull your focus, which is, what again?
It's kind of tied to what she flies. Basically, it's, oh God, I'm trying to decide whether it's funnier if it is just, like, a full-sized scythe.
Oh, yes.
It's got to be, like, this 6-foot-tall, like, black lacquered wood.
I forget that you've been just dragging that around.
It's kind of amazing.
The blade itself is longer than you.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So you pull out your scythe, and affixed to it, if you don't mind, is your sash and badges?
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah.
That's rad.
I want you to tell me what. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
It's definitely like the sash itself, where like they probably give you this standard color, but she has like made her own like purple brocade loop of badges.
So what does the badge for Raise the Dead look like?
Oh boy. Since she uses it most for, like, communication, it's like a skeleton hand, like, bursting out of the earth holding a telephone.
Nice.
So you basically, this is powered by the apocalypse, so you roll 2d6 and add your mastery, and in this case, it's plus 2.
Okay. I wish I was joking. 14?
Woo!
14, there you go. So when you roll a 10 plus, the spell works as written. Good job. What is the so if I remember correctly, it just summoned it. You can summon a ghost to talk to.
Yep.
So you're not looking for any specific ghost. You're just trying to summon a ghost that may be here to talk to.
Yep, definitely.
what does casting the spell look like for you?
Yeah, she kind of holds the scythe kind of directly down the like middle of her face, so kind of like the shot like kind of splits. And
yeah, very anime.
Oh yeah, there's one thing I know how to do, and it's anime.
Mm-hmm. It's anime as like, heck.
This kind of like silvery mist starts like pooling out of where the scythe touches the ground, and like her hair starts like raising up, which. Being hella long, it's like just these kind of weird like tendrils of hair that kind of move with some kind of strange ill wind. And then a ghost will materialize out of this silvery fog.
The form that comes into focus in front of you is a very tall, wispy, ethereal looking gentleman who has like a ratty button-up shirt with suspenders and trouser and no shoes, and he is missing most of the hair on his head, and one of his eyes is permanently closed, and he seems to have 2 teeth, and he looks down at you and says, "Well, shucks, what are y'all doing?"
Like during the spell casting, like her face was completely serene. As soon as the ghost appears, she just breaks out into this wide smile. It's like, "Hi, I was wondering if you could tell us about this place and maybe how you died and who lives here. You know, just normal stuff."
Is that rude, Lily, to ask if like how he died?
Most ghosts that I've talked to just offer that information anyway. Like they usually talk about.
Yeah, we're gossipers.
Yeah, exactly.
And when the ghost, like, addresses Kat, she, like, jumps and hides behind Lily a little bit and then kind of peeks out around.
Oh, don't worry about me. I'm not going to hurt you. Or am I? And he, like, lunges at you and then stops and says, nah, I can't really anyways. All right, well, I'm Eustifer. This is my cabin right here. Turns around and looks at it with some pride in his dead eye. And you can still see through him as it looks back. He says, pretty as the day I built her. And he turns around and says, I was shot 17 times.
By one person?
Not sure. After the first one, you kind of lose count of like where they're coming from.
That's awful. I'm so sorry, Mr. Eustifer.
Oh, you're sweet. I've been dead a while. I've come to terms with it, you know?
You haven't sort of tried to seek out your ghastly revenge at all?
He seems to think as this is like hasn't occurred to him before.
And I mean, not that you should.
No. He like taps his bottom lip and points at you. He says, I like the way you think.
Thanks.
He looks to Liliana. He says, hey, little girl, any chance you can summonize me my ghostly shotgun?
Maybe if you described it in great detail.
Kat's just shaking her head.
All right, well, it's about this tall. It's got a shooty end at this end and a trigger end at this end. And pointed at people, they died.
She's just nodding and like, somewhere on her hip, she pulls out like this book and starts just kind of writing down notes.
Okay. Before we do that, Mr. Eustifer, I have a question. We perceived a kind of gleam emanating through the window.
He looks around, suddenly terrified. You think him's ghosts?
You're a ghost.
Yeah, but I wasn't here until she told me to come here.
Ask.
Oh.
Also, ghosts are assholes.
That's not good.
No.
You be careful, all right? I can already feel my bond with this world slipping away.
Does someone else live also, in that cabin, Mr. Eustifer?
He looks back in it again. I hope so. Someone's been taking mighty good care of it. Like something inside just falls off the wall. Clanks against the ground. He says, well, all right, but I got to go, you know, seek my ghostly revenge, so I'll see you kids later. Hopefully not, I guess. That would be sad.
Have fun.
If you all died from ghost attacks or falling off the mountain or...
We'll be okay, Kat. Don't worry. All of us are going to be safe.
Whatever you do, don't... And then he says something, but it kind of echoes as he fades out of existence as the spell loses its power.
Okay.
He was nice until the end.
Well, from experience, a lot of ghosts have dramatic timing. He probably didn't actually have anything to say. He was probably just wanting to leave a lasting impression. And, like, Lily turns around back to all of you, and she's just, like, beaming.
I have regrets. He won't actually try and seek his ghostly... There's not much he could do, right?
He doesn't even know who shot him.
Yeah. Sure, it's fine.
What if you say it's fine?
Can ghosts hurt people?
Emotionally.
The most painful way of all.
Jeez.
I'm going to go back to thinking that ghosts are unscientific.
It's this point that you hear a loud, haunting, howling sound from all around you. And you look around and you realize that like there is a boardwalk nearby that has a like a saloon front and a general store front and a hotel front on it. And the wind whipping through the open doors of these three buildings and down the breezeway of the boardwalk is making this haunting howling sound.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how dark is it?
It's a full moon, so it's dark. But like if you don't look at anything bright for a long time, there's enough light to pick your way across town. You see like all of the trees in the distance are silhouetted. You can't make out anything very far away.
Can I do some staff work, spell work, to take out my Sailor Moon wand? And it is kind of it's one of the crystal transformation wands. So it kind of looks like the handle of a fencing sword with a crystal stuck on top. And I whisper some words of magic to make the top kind of light up very softly, so that there's just a little bit of light that we can see what's around us so we don't trip.
So you're not trying to do the bright sunlight.
No, I'm not trying to do sunlight. I'm trying to do basically like don't fall on our faces.
Is this the one you have a badge in?
I have a full badges in staff work, spell work, yes.
Okay, so same question for you, since you're the first one using it. What does the staff work, spell work badge look like, and where is it on your person?
So now she's wearing a jacket, because on the inside of her jacket is where she keeps all of her badges, so she can like open up one side of the jacket and show off all of her badges.
like illegal watches,
like illegal watches or like Pokemon badges. But the badge itself is a wand crossed with a needle. With some thread kind of leaving the needle, but also hanging off of the badge itself. So it's kind of a 3D effect.
Nice.
Go ahead.
No, it's just since you have a badge in this and you're not trying to do anything especially difficult and you're not stressed out, it just works. So you whisper your words to your focus and the crystal on it lights up, shedding a dim but effective light. All around you.
It was too dark.
I can't fault your hypothesis.
This is good. This is helpful. And tell you guys what. That was a scary noise. I'm a little spooked too. It sounds like there's wind rushing through like some open doors or some open windows. If we go close them now, we're not going to hear that sound anymore. We can sleep through the night pretty well.
But that means we have to go further into the town.
It's okay. We'll all stay together. We can all hold hands if we want.
And she immediately takes her right hand. She grabs Clary. In her left hand, she grabs Lily.
Everybody turns and looks at Ellie.
Well, she's expecting them to, like, grab Ellie's hand, too. And when they don't, she just kind of looks a little awkward.
Lily shrugs and offers a hand to Ellie.
Ellie hesitates and then takes Leliana's hand and blushes, looks away.
And then you head towards the boardwalk. Mm-hmm. So you turn and you walk away from this cabin, and as you do, like, the boards creak again. And the camera, like, stays on the cabin as you walk away, and we see the door slowly, slowly open with a very quiet creak. And then we cut back to the boardwalk, where you step up and you see, like, the sign above the saloon says saloon, and the other one says Jameson's Mercantile, and then the hotel is the Henry Hotel. All these signs there that are rotten and falling apart. And again, a cold wind bites through you as it whips around this little boardwalk. And it creaks under your feet as you walk up. As you approach, because you're just going to close the doors, right?
Mm-hmm. Like close the shutters? Right.
Yeah.
So as you approach the ones on the saloon, there is a loud crash as a bottle inside smashes on the floor.
Cat screams like she can't stop herself.
in a loud booming voice, you hear, "Leave."
Bye.
Okay. I think. No, okay. Bye.
Nope. No. I'm gonna hold on.
Trying to drag away everyone.
No, we're gonna plant the chain here. Like whatever is in there. We need to find out what it is, and we have to go warn Jesse about this once we know what it is. We're not going to go running off to him now. We're big girls. We're big scouts. We can at least go see it with our own eyes first.
Oh, okay, I trust you.
I hold no objections.
But let the record state, I'm scared.
It's okay. That's what this trip is for us to learn, for us to be adventurers, and maybe at the end of the trip you won't be as scared. We're gonna get all the fright out now, and then tomorrow we're gonna have a great day.
I mean, it's probably bored teenagers or some kind of real estate mogul who just wants to keep people away from this place, so it's probably fine.
That actually sounds reasonable. Maybe I should take a potion to protect, turn into some sort of animal to protect us. If it's like a, I've been working on something.
Like for a moment, Cat's fear leaves her, and just her face is unabashedly proud of you. Oh my god, that sounds so cool.
Thank you.
You did that all on your own? That's so awesome.
Well, I've been reading some principles of polymorphing, and it seemed like there was just a couple of different ingredients that you had to adjust to reheat and then sublimate into more of a viscous solution. I see, like, chatters away as she digs through her pockets.
And Kat is trying so hard to hang on every word, but you're losing her slightly more and more. But she is into it. She's listening. She's just not quite understanding.
Just don't make it something small. And she kind of like flicks her eyes up because her hands are full at Randolph on top of her hat.
All right. So you pull out a potion and drink it. It's like a roll plus polymorph, which is not the one you have a badge on, right?
So, I mean, okay.
I did take the one dip.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have no penalty.
So that's a 9, which means, let's see.
So, you can, it'll work, but you can activate the backlash, or, it works, but you don't understand why. But it's okay because you looked smart and you get -1 to cast it next time. You can't pick the one where you fail and erase conditions. It works. But you get -1 next time, or you get a
backlash. I'd like the backlash, please.
All right. What's the backlash on
polymorph? You retain embarrassing traits from this animal after you revert. For example, bunny ears and teeth or a donkey's bray.
So what animal are you turning
into? It's got to be something scary.
Or I guess you can describe it. Like, describe this transformation in front of your peers.
So she drinks it. There's nothing happens for a second. And Ellie, like, squints into the flask. And sort of looks down at herself, and she opens her mouth to speak, and instead of talking, she goes rawr, and then she sort of hunches over, drops the flask, which explodes into like a big cloud of purple smoke, and when the smoke clears, she's like a big-ish bear cub.
Oh,
what?
Oh, I mean, wow, so cool.
I'm guessing you're not holding hands anymore, but now there is a rather large compared to you bear in your midst.
Rawr.
Ellie, this is great. If you can stay a bear, later we can go to the river and you can help us catch fish for dinner.
This is so cool.
And so
you're so scary.
She starts heading into this saloon, I think it was, that we were going into. So yeah, she sort of ambles determinedly. The little, yeah.
So you enter into like this this one story room. It's basically all one room with like a little back area that's curtained off, and the curtains shimmy as you enter, as if something had just moved. But inside is just a bunch of overturned tables and rubble from glass and bottles and windows. Wood that has fallen off the ceiling. You see there's moonlight trickling in through a hole in the roof. What do you do?
Ellie sort of snuffles around and noses into some of the tables and chairs and sort of goes, rawr, disappointedly.
So there's some clattering inside. And a disappointed roar.
Is there a way that we could use magic to try to see if anyone's been here recently? Like make footprints or something glow?
Yeah, that sounds like a staff work or magic. Staff or magic works.
Okay, I will do a staff work to see if like I can find footprints and make them glow.
I do feel like this has gotten a bit tense, especially for poor little Cat, who is terrified right now. So I am going to make you roll this one, even if you have the badge in it.
All right. So that's a 7 + 2 for my mastery of it, right?
Yeah. So that's a 9. So same goes for you. It works, but you get the backlash, or it works and you don't understand why and get a -1 next time. Backlash for staff work and spell work is you draw unwanted attention, you break something out by accident, or there's an embarrassing side effect, whichever your character would want least to happen.
Definitely backlash, because she doesn't want any unwanted attention, and that sounds like exactly what would be the most dramatically interesting.
Okay. What does casting this spell look like for you?
She holds up her crystal wand. Sight unseen, be seen. Show us trespassers before. And she holds out her wand and like glitter kind of comes out of it and kind of coats the floor to show where people may have walked before, and it kind of shines.
So the first things that light up are all of your footprints in the dust behind you, and then like obviously one set of footprints turn into bear prints and go inside, and then you think maybe nothing else has happened until you look around and you see there is faint glowing on the ground, and you realize that they're just smaller than even your footprints, and there's thousands of them, of these little three-toed footprints everywhere in the dust. You look around the city, and they're just the city, the town, the little road going through the town, and they just crisscross across like everywhere, these tiny little tracks.
I start pulling on Clary's sleeve.
It's at this point you hear especially Ellie. Because you all hear a lightning strike, though you see no light, and it's nearly deafening for Ellie. Just hear it sounds, it's just terrifying lightning strike that seems to emanate from inside the saloon, and then the door slams shut, trapping Ellie inside.
No!
She throws herself against the door with all of her young bear weight.
So that sounds like you're doing something other than magic, which is the only other move in this game. So you get a +1 for being advantageous. I feel like a bear, being a bear gives you advantage in this. So you do get a +1 to this roll.
Okay, so that's an 11.
an 11. So the door slams shut to trap Ellie in, and Ellie immediately busts out of it, sending splintering wood showering across all of you. And you all see as this flimsy door rockets across the street, sliding across the dirt and into the building across the road.
Oh, yay!
Awesome.
Another lightning strike sounds from inside the building.
I think she's still wearing her glasses.
Oh, yes. Glasses.
And then suddenly a very large, spooky looking, glowing green corpse person seems to rise out of the roof of the mercantile. And it's kind of shaky and wobbly and twitches as it stands. And it's got like wrinkled skin and hollow black eyes and long, sharp, vicious looking teeth. And it glows with like an ethereal green light. Not like Eustifer from before, but still otherworldly. And its arms rickety raise and wave about. And you hear that voice again. It says, leave, and it rattles aggressively towards you from the roof.
Billy just waves at him.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this game, please check it out. Witch Scouts is available at acceptablegames.wordpress.com and DriveThruRPG. Please let us know what you thought of it. You can find Livy on Twitter at LivyWatka. And me, if you weren't tired of my ums yet, at Iolo, that's E-Y-O-L-O. If you wanted more of Livy and I, we have an X-Men Evolution Rewatch podcast called Cerebros. We're available wherever podcasts are.
The Lost Library is a production of the Fifth Draw family of podcasts and can be found at fifthdraw.com. You can email us at lostlibrary@fifthdraw.com or follow us on Twitter at LostLibraryCast.